Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Packers Daily here at Cheesehead TV. That's right. Aaron was up last night having some fun. Made an intro. Hope you like it. Whoo, baby. Man, you know, life's too short not to have fun, people. Hope you guys are doing well. Good to see everybody in the comments section already. Lots of questions about the Fangio defense. Understandable after Tom's piece last night dropped on PackersNews.com and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying that one of the factors, or a driving factor, in LaFleur's decision to hire Barry was rooted in his desire to run the Fangio-style defense. Vic Fangio, obviously being the defensive coordinator in Chicago for many years, giving Rodgers and Mike McCarthy trouble, and then moving on to become the head coach in Denver. And now his proteges and followers are spreading the gospel all around the NFL. Sure sounds like Matt LaFleur has heard the sermon. Good morning, everybody. Joey, what's up, buddy? Almost as great as the trivia music. Almost, but not quite. But close. Pretty good, though. I just like it's kind of funky, right? It's good. It's fun. It's fun times. Oh, good to see everybody. Go play the funky music, white boy. You know, sometimes you just got to have a good time, man. It's all good. Could have just waited a year and actually hired Fangio. Could have hired Fangio as the head coach. So it's a good thing the Packers didn't do that, I would say. Chad, how are you? What's up, man? I'm already going through football withdrawals. Joseph, you and I both, brother. It's tough going, no doubt. Melissa, good morning. How are you? Thanks for joining us. Robert. Morning. Is there any sense to hiring a coordinator that doesn't have head coach aspirations slash would stay with the Packers? I think that's much more of a concern on the offensive side of the ball these days. But yeah, I do think that's something that teams certainly have thought about in the past and will think about going forward. I don't know how much it played into LaFleur's decision with Barry. I mean, obviously this guy's on his third chance. Yes, you know. Now you can turn around your reputation pretty quickly with a good unit, the defense that comes to play every week and ranks in the top 10, has a bunch of turnovers, blah, 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 helps you win games. That can put the shine on your name real quick, but I think Barry's got a long way to go before he's in any kind of consideration for a head coaching gig. Kyle, thanks for the super chat. Number one need this offseason, happy Tuesday. Good football players. I know everyone gets mad when I say that, but it's true. I know we're going to hear a lot about corner, inside linebacker, and for good reason. I think offensive tackle depth is probably a good place to look as well. But to me, a number one for me is defensive tackle. Building up the defensive line, getting Kenny a running mate. I think everything that you want to do on defense becomes infinitely easier if you can control the front. And way too many times last year, we saw the Packers get pushed around up front on defense. We know the offensive line played extremely well throughout the season. The defensive line, up and down, not so much. I think they need an infusion of talent there. Kenny Clark needs a running mate. And I don't think that's casting aspersions on the Tyler Lancasters or Dean Lowrys of the world, but, you know, you're either getting better or you're getting worse, and they need to get better there, 1,000%. Stanley, thanks for the super chat. Are those team issued? Yes, great clip that somebody found. I don't know, somebody on Twitter. I know we retweeted it at Cheesehead TV, I believe from the Hard Knocks in the year they were at the Rams, and Matt LaFleur and Barry going at it about their attire, their shoes. Third time's a charm, right? Yeah, we'll see, won't we? Can't wait. Any chance you see Rod Marinelli being brought in, being Barry, is his son-in-law? No. Snacks back on the cheap? I hope so. We'll see. I mean, they were obviously hot to get him throughout last year. But then they hardly played him. I think he played the most snaps in that first game when he'd been in the building for like 3 days. So, I don't know. We'll see. I hope so. You guys know I love snacks. Good evening from Hong Kong. Well, good morning, Warren, from New York City. I hope you're doing well. I hope the other side of the world is treating you kindly. Nags, see the all intake starting. Obviously, it doesn't guarantee success, so it's nonsense. But humor me. Would you take a Super Bowl next year if it means suffering for years afterwards due to blowing the cap? Sure, I'll take it. I don't have any say in it. That's the thing that kind of blows my mind with fans that are like, you know, get so frustrated by a team's approach. It's your team, man. I get like wanting them to do certain things, but once they've made their decision, bitching about it for years, literally looking at you, TJ Watt, truthers, bitching about it for years just makes no sense to me. Like, I get like being upset that Jerry Rice fumbled and it didn't get called. I get being upset that Brett Favre had a bunch of guys open and threw to the one guy who was covered and ball was intercepted in the NFC Championship game. Like, I get that, but I don't understand. Like, okay, a decision was made and then it played out. So yeah, would I don't have any choice. I don't know. I guess I'm just wired different, which I understand, which thankfully, you know, for everyone else. I kick ass. What's up? Hot take. Packers should draft someone who tackles. Now, this, sir, this is something I can get behind. This is the truth right here. This is something that needs to be shouted from a rooftop. Because yes, yes, you know how you become a better tackling team? Drafting guys who can tackle. And I mean tackle, not throw their shoulder into somebody, not who makes big hits, not someone who's there and, you know, a capacity of, oh, well, you know, I'm going to maybe get him to the ground. I want a guy who arrives in a bad mood and drives through the ball carrier and gets him on the ground every single fucking time. Those are the guys I want on defense. We'll see. Andrew, thanks for the super chat. If JW and AJ move on, does running back go to the top of the list? No. That's why they drafted AJ Dillon. They got their workhorse back ready to go. Now, they're going to get other backs, obviously. We know LaFleur loves his rotation, so I don't think the cupboard's going to be bare at all. But yeah, no. You literally found both of those backs on the third day of the draft. Keep on keeping on, man. I did find Rob's reporting this morning interesting over there at ESPN regarding several offers, and we knew there had been one offer made to Jones, but Rob confirmed this is what we've talked about here. I've suspected this all along that there were several offers made to Aaron Jones and company, none of them with any legit guaranteed money. And obviously Jones is at this point, it seems pretty dead set on hitting the market. Meanwhile, Jamal Williams never received an offer, nothing, not one. So now obviously last minute phone calls can be made, deadline spur actions. Maybe Jamal gets a call prior to the start of free agency, which is, I believe, March 14th for the legal tampering window to open. But it doesn't look good for the GOAT, to quote Big B, be coming back. Stanley, thank you for the super chat. That's me with the video clip on Twitter. Stanley Williams! Thanks, buddy. That was a great find, bud. I love it. Brandy! Brandy's here. Hello. Hello, Brandy. Just with a simple hello. Been waiting all week for that sweet, sweet dick. The draft industrial complex is in full effect. I threw up a couple of tweets or a tweet last night showing PFF, my buddy Steve, writing that Rashawn Gary is not a first round talent. And then you fast forward to the end of the season. And since week 10, Rashawn Gary had a higher pressure percentage than anybody in the NFL, including Aaron Donald. So it's funny how the dick works. Would you keep King on the team? Nope, not at all. I would on one condition. If he played for the veterans minimum, then I would. All players have value. But yeah, no, it's time. It's time for a clean break there. Randy, will there be a bunch of free agents this offseason due to the salary cap issues? I have to think so. It's going to be interesting to see which teams end up letting guys hit the street, so to speak, which guys want to hit the street, and which guys cut deals to stick around, adjust their contracts with their current teams just so that they're not, you know, put out on the street, so to speak. I do think the Packers are going to have a couple of those guys, you know, whether it's Preston Smith, whether it's Dean Lowry. I think there are a couple of guys you could look at the Packers roster and say Packers could potentially look at those guys and say, we need you to restructure your contract or we're going to have to cut you. And that's going to, those are conversations that are going to be had all throughout the league. Plenty of teams got this cap crunch problem. So yes, there's a potential for a real influx of talent on the open market, but I don't think it's this foregone conclusion that a bunch of guys are going to hit free agency. Plenty of them could end up just reworking their deals to stick around, but we'll see. We got about a month left for that to play out. Well, the Saints have a lot of guys that will hit the street. Yeah, they do. I mean, you talk about a team, you talk about all in. You talk about a team that went, tried going all in year after year to get Breeze that elusive second ring. Look at the Saints. And they've been kicking the cap can down the street for years. Never got over the hump. Now they're in real trouble. It's going to be fun. Thoughts on the inside linebacker group? Ascending. I think it could do with probably another body, another influx of talent, so to speak. And I do think if the board falls the right way, Brian would not hesitate to add somebody in the draft. I'd be surprised if they went out free agency again, but you never know. But yeah, I think we've talked about it a lot here. I think Kirksey played a lot better once he got moved to the weak side. Barnes really solidified himself as that kind of three down guy. And I do think Fangio's system, if they can get another guy in front of him to pair along with Kenny and keep him clean, I think he could make some real noise. I think he could be a good player. I don't see greatness in him, although you never know. He's still very young. But I do think they can win a lot of games with Barnes at inside backer. No, they just got to keep him clean. But that said, again, you never know how the draft is going to fall. If they are sitting there at 29 and someone just falls into the lap that they think is perfect, I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled the trigger. And I know that would be weird because they've been so kind of almost dismissive of that position for decade plus. But I do think there's a possibility we see an inside backer draft, maybe not in the first round, but at some point during the proceedings. Michael, I don't know how to respond to that. That's kind of funny. Tell your mom I says hi. How's that? Dustin, thanks for the super chat. John fucking Lynch, Hall of Fame is a disgrace and a joke. I demand justice for Leroy. This will not stand, man. The anger is real. John Lynch is equal to the Bears. Look, man, we all know Leroy should have been in years ago. They've emptied the log jam, I think is the hip new phrase about I hear from all the Hall of Fame apologists. Now, the pathway is cleared for Leroy to get in next year. Fuck next year, man. He should have been in 10 years ago. Fucking ridiculous. Hall is a joke. Is J.K. Scott a Packer next season? Do they bring someone on for competition? Maybe and yes. I don't think there's any way Brian can, in good conscience, go into next season. Oh, there goes the light. The light. No. Charge that light, Nagler. Yeah, it's going so well. I don't think there's any way Brian can go into next season without bringing in competition. JK's had 3 years to prove that he's the consistent, reliable, effective punter that they need, and he has not risen to that occasion at all. I mean, he has great punts. He has horrible punts. You never know which one you're going to get. I just can't see them. It's not a case of you've seen Mason Crosby struggle. We all remember famously his one bad stretch when the Packers stuck with him back in, I think, 2012. But we'd also seen him go through stretches of brilliance, long stretches of brilliance, knowing he could do it. Haven't seen that with JK. Not once. Not ever. It's been 3 years. You can't keep waiting for him. I know he's a draft pick, and I know they're probably going to wring out every possible moment they can from the kid, but they got to bring in competition. There is zero doubt. Now, please don't let it be a draft pick, because I can't handle Corey's head exploding live on our Cheesehead TV live stream if that happens. Speaking of which, we will be doing a live stream for the NFL draft, not only on night one for the first round, but we will be doing a live stream watch party for all 3 days of the NFL draft. That's right. We are fucking insane. And we're going to do it because we don't care. Why not? Right? We're all watching the draft anyway. Let's hang out and talk about it together. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you were here last year, you know we had a lot of fun special guests pop up throughout the first evening. And I think many of them will rejoin us again this year, both current and former players. A lot of fun. Maybe we'll get the head coach on. Who knows? Although I doubt it during the actual draft. But we're going to have a lot of fun during the draft. So I hope you guys all remember to come on down here to cheeseheadtv.com and said social channels, because it's going to be a lot of fun. Love JK. Wanted him to be good so badly, but unfortunately, he stinks. I see. Okay, Steven. Now, wait. I quibble with your nomenclature, sir. I don't think he stinks. I think he's inconsistent, which, you know, sometimes can kill you more than if he stinks, because that makes it real easy to move on. But you've seen it. Like, it's almost like he's a coach killer, because you see the glimpses of how good he can be. He's just not consistent enough. You cannot count on him in any way, shape, or form. Need a big kick from you, JK. Late in the game, we got to flip the field. Well, good luck. Flip a coin, because you don't know which one is coming. Sometimes, yeah, he delivers. He's had some brilliant punts in that exact situation. And he's had some awful shanks. You just don't want to be holding your breath every time you need a big punt. What if we use the seventh round comp pick on a punter? Won't matter. Won't matter. Corey will still lie dead. It won't be pretty. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. Lawrence falls to us late in the first. You taking him? No! Maybe Brian will, though, and just set the world on fire. It'd be awesome. But no. Nah. Scott can't play in the cold weather. I mean, yeah, that's part of it, I think. But we've seen him shank it indoors. It's not like it's the cold that's doing it. Hell, he had a shank in the Metrodome, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, I don't think it's that. Thoughts on trading for J.J. Watt? I have no thoughts. Sounds like fantasy football to me. I know Wisconsin / Packers fans are real itchy, real hopeful that it might happen. And hey, look, with the complete debacle that is the Houston Texans offseason so far, anything is possible. But I would be absolutely shocked. I just don't see how they make it work cap-wise. Unless JJ wants to come for a literal hometown discount and play like for the veterans minimum, adjust his contract, then I'm all in. Any date for the Cheesehead TV draft guide? Not yet, David. I know Al's in the early stages of putting together the writers group and figuring out who's going to write what, etc. But as soon as we have some information for you, you can rest assured you'll be hearing about it here, Cheesehead TV, all the socials, etc. Patrick Peterson, I got to think that's a possibility, in the sense of if he's willing to come chase a ring with Aaron Rodgers, so to speak. It would have to be a below market deal, but look, they're going to need to fill that spot opposite Jair, and I think Patrick Peterson, late in his career, still playing at a relatively high level. He's not the guy he once was, but you could do a lot worse. Now, it doesn't seem like the kind of signing Brian's been prone to do. It's not kind of his MO. He hasn't really gone for that late in their career kind of come in as a Ronin type signing. That's just not his thing. But never know. 2 years knocking on the door of the Super Bowl, maybe it makes him alter his approach a little bit. We'll see. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Think Danica regrets introducing her friend to Raj. Dustin, I don't care. I honestly don't care. What else we got? So no more excuses for Aaron not to take a pay cut since the engagement. Just kidding. Go, Aaron, go. TKM, you're at your post right at the end. Disappointing. What is it from? What is that movie? Mad Max. Fury Road. Mediocre. Not great, TKM. Expect better next time. Jennifer, good morning. You're here just for me to wrap it up. Brandy, what's up? Nags, what attributes define a player as a hybrid? I seem to be confused. Well, it depends on what position you're talking about, but lots of times it's an athleticism that translates across, you know, your positional duties. If you are a safety linebacker hybrid, let's say lots of times they're tweeners, guys who maybe aren't as quick as a traditional safety or as fast, but who are able to cover enough ground sideline to sideline, along with being physical enough to make the tackles when they arrive or shed blocks. And that's the big part where those tweeners, those hybrid types, seem to struggle. Oren Burks is a perfect example of a guy who played safety in college, and then, you know, the Packers tried to change him into a linebacker, and he just really struggled with the physicalness of mostly interior linemen getting up on him, especially in the run game. But traditionally, a hybrid guy is a guy who is a lot like Oren Burks. You just hope they develop not only their body as they're continuing to grow. That's part of the gig when you are a scout, you know, trying to project how these college kids are going to grow into men. It's an inexact science, but that's part of the job. And you hope that the combination of their physical maturity combined with the coaching they're going to get and their mastering of the technique that they're taught will blossom into a player who can give you the best of both worlds, who can help you in coverage, has fluid hips, can turn and not lose a lot of speed when he's making his adjustments in coverage, but then is also a physical player who can make the tackle and or shed the block. That's a really simplified way of explaining it, but that's a 30,000 foot view for you. Why do the Packers think the gap between King and Jackson is so large? We're not entirely sure that they do. We'll have to wait and see. I know Jackson was inactive down the stretch there, but he was the next man up when King went down. And we heard from Pettine several times, both last summer and throughout the season, that they were using him and running him strictly on the perimeter. So unless King or Jair went down, he wasn't going to play. And we talked to Matt, I think about halfway through the year, and he said he just wasn't getting anything on special, you know, they weren't getting anything from him on special teams. He needed to do better on special teams. And that was the reason he was inactive. There's no way you can make him active and not have him on special teams and not playing. So I'm not entirely sure that they think the gap is that wide. It's just there was no way to get, there was no reason to put him up inactive if he wasn't going to play while Jair and King were healthy. So we'll see. Now, that said, maybe they do. Maybe you're right. Maybe they think, you know, they saw that stint where Jackson played in King's place earlier this year when King went down, and they think, oh, boy, there's a huge drop-off there. I don't think so. I think when Jackson came in, he was just as good as King. Now, you can quibble with how good that is or where that bar is, but I didn't think there was much drop-off, and I think you can win with it. I think you can win a lot of games with it, but it all depends on how they're assessing that spot and where they want to allocate their resources cap wise. I think you can win with Josh at that perimeter, that outside corner opposite Jair. He's going to get picked on. You're going to have to live with some shit, just like you did with King. But if you're looking to save as much money as possible, that's a route they could possibly take. Eric, thanks for the super chat. If Jones and Williams both walk, do you think we see more Dexter Williams to complement Dylan? No. I think they'll bring in probably a draft pick and or maybe an undrafted guy and or as well as a possible free agent signing. I can't imagine this team counting on Dexter Williams in any capacity. But we'll see. I could be completely wrong. That's just guesswork on my part. But Jackson held his own. I agree, man. I totally agree. All right, everybody. I got to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day here at Packers Daily. Thank you so much for making Cheesehead TV part of your daily Packers routine. Please do me a huge favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Patreon members, our Patreon happy hour will be up and going tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern. The information is on the Patreon page. It's always a lot of fun. If you would care to support Cheesehead TV as a Patreon member, you can go to patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. All we ask is $5 a month. It's a lot of fun. Very off-the-cuff, informal. Talk about the Packers, the NFL, whatever the hell else comes up. Sometimes Corey regales us with stories about his latest find as basically a Packers picker. He goes around and finds just amazing things all over the state that are related to the Packers. It's always a good time. But if you can't support us on Patreon, I totally understand, totally get it. But please do just hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we're devoted. Green Bay Packers fans, worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.